Text 22 on page 264. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukayo naya evate adyantavanta konteya nateshu ramate buddha. Yea, those, he certainly, samsparshaja, by contact with the material senses, bhoga, enjoyments, dukkha, distress, yonayaha, sources of, eva, certainly, te, they are, adi, beginning, anta, end, vanta, subject to, konteya, O son of Kunti, na never teshu in those, ramate, takes delight, buddha, the intelligent person. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. Purport. Material sense pleasures are due to the contact of the material senses, which are all temporary because the body itself is temporary. A liberated soul is not interested in anything which is temporary. Knowing well the joys of transcendental pleasures, how can a liberated soul agree to enjoy false pleasure? In the Padma Purana, it is said, Ramante yogano nante satyanande chidatmani iti rama padenaso param brahma badiyate. The mystics derive unlimited transcendental pleasure from the Absolute Truth, and therefore the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, is also known as Rama. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, it is said, Nayam deho deha bhajam nradoke kashtan kamam arhate vidbhujam ye tapo divyam putrakajena sattvam shudyat yasmat brahma saukyam tvanantam. My dear sons, there is no reason to labor very hard for sense pleasure while in this human form of life. Such pleasures are available to the stool eaters, hogs. However, you should undergo penances in this life by which your existence will be purified, and as a result, you will be able to enjoy unlimited transcendental bliss. Therefore, those who are true yogis or learned transcendentalists are not attracted by sense pleasures, which are the causes of continuous material existence. The more one is addicted to material pleasures, the more he is entrapped by material desires. Text 23. Shaknoti haivaya shodhum praksharira vimokshanat kama krodhod bhavam bhegam sayukta sa sukhi naraha. Shaknoti is able. Iha eva, in the present body. Ya, one who. Shodhum, to tolerate. Prak, before. Sharira, the body. Vimokshanat, giving up. Kama, desire. Krodha, and anger. Udbhavam, generated from. Vegam, urges. Saha, he. Yukta, in trance. Saha, he. Sukhi, happy. Nara, human being. Sukhi nara, happy human being. Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated and is happy in this world. Becomes a happy human or a sukhi nara. Purport. If one wants to make steady progress on the path of self-realization, he must try to control the forces of the material senses. There are the forces of talk, forces of anger, forces of mind, forces of the stomach, forces of the genitals, and forces of the tongue. One who is able to control the forces of all these different senses and the mind is called Goswami or Swami. Such Goswamis live strictly controlled lives and forego altogether the forces of the senses. Material desires, when unsatisfied, generate anger, and thus the mind, eyes, and chest become agitated. Therefore, one must practice to control them before one gives up this material body. One who can do this is understood to be self-realized and is thus happy in the state of self-realization. It is the duty of the transcendentalist to try strenuously to control desire and anger. To try strenuously to control what? Text 24. Yonta, we can chant together. Yonta sukontara ramas tatantir jyotir evayaha sa yogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuto dikachati. Ya, one who. Antasukha, happy from within. Anta arama, actively enjoying within. Tata, as well as. Antajoti, aiming within. Eva, certainly. Ya, anyone. Sahi, yogi, a mystic. Brahmanirvanam, liberation in the supreme. Brahmabhuta, being self-realized. Arigachati, attains. Translation. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the supreme, and ultimately, he attains the supreme. Purport. Unless one is able to relish happiness from within, how can one retire from the external engagements meant for deriving superficial happiness? A liberated person enjoys happiness by factual experience. He can, therefore, sit silently at any place and enjoy the activities of life from within. Such a liberated person no longer desires external material happiness. This state is called Brahmabhuta, attaining which one is assured of going back home, back to Godhead. Text 25, together. Labante brahmanirvanam vrishayakshina kalmasaha china dvaida yathatmana sarvabhuta hiterataha. Word for word together. Labante, chief. Brahmanirvanam, liberation in the supreme. Vrishaya, those who are active within. Shina kalamasha, who are devoid of all sins. Chinna, having torn off. Dvaita, duality. Yata atmanaha, engaged in self-realization. Sarvabhuta, for all living entities. Hite, in welfare work. Rataha, engaged. Translation. Those who are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts, whose minds are engaged within, who are always busy working for the welfare of all living beings, and who are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. Purport. Only a person who is fully in Krishna consciousness can be said to be engaged in welfare work for all living entities. When a person is actually in the knowledge that Krishna is the fountainhead of everything, then when he acts in that spirit, he acts for everyone. The sufferings of humanity are due to forgetfulness of Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend. Therefore, to act to revive this consciousness within the entire human society is the highest welfare work. One cannot be engaged in such first-class welfare work without being liberated in the supreme. A Krishna-conscious person has no doubt about the supremacy of Krishna. He has no doubt because he is completely freed from all sins. This is the state of divine love. A person engaged only in ministering to the physical welfare of human society cannot factually help anyone. Temporary relief of the external body and the mind is not satisfactory. The real cause of one's difficulties in the hard struggle for life may be found in one's forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Lord. When a man is fully conscious of his relationship with Krishna, he is actually a liberated soul, although he may be in the material tabernacle. Text 26, together. Kama krodha vimuktanam yatinam yata chetasam abhito brahmanirvanam vartate viditatmanam. Word for word. Kama, from desires. Krodha, and anger. Vimuktanam, of those who are liberated. Yatinam, of the simply persons. Yata chetasam, who have full control over the mind. Abhita, assured in the near future. Brahmanirvanam, liberation in the supreme. Vartate, is there. Vidita atmanam, of those who are self-realized. Translation. Those who are free from anger and all material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined, and constantly endeavoring for perfection, are assured of liberation in the supreme in the near, very near future. Purport. Of the saintly persons who are constantly engaged in striving towards salvation, one who is in Krishna consciousness is the best of all. The Bhagavatam 4:22-39 confirms this fact as follows. Yat pada pankacha palasya vilasya bhakta karma shayam kratitam udgratayanti santa tadvanda rikta matayo yatayo pirudha shroto ganastadaranam bhajavasudevam. Just try to worship in devotional service Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even great sages are not able to control the forces of the senses as effectively as those who are engaged in transcendental bliss by serving the lotus feet of the Lord, uprooting the deep-grown desire for fruitive activities. In the conditioned soul, the desire to enjoy the fruit of results of work is so deep-rooted that it is very difficult even for the great sages to control such desires, despite great endeavors. A devotee of the Lord, constantly engaged in devotional service and Krishna consciousness, perfect in self-realization, very quickly attains liberation in the Supreme. Owing to his complete knowledge of self-realization, he always remains in trance. To cite an analogous example of this, Darshana Dhyana Samsparsher Matsikurma Vihangamaha Swanyapatnani Pushnanti Tataham Apipadmaja. By vision, by meditation, and by touch only do the fish, the tortoise, and the birds maintain their offspring. Similarly do I also, O Padmaja. The fish brings up its offspring simply by looking at them. The tortoise brings up its offspring simply by meditation. The eggs of the tortoise are laid on the land, and the tortoise meditates on the eggs while in the water. Similarly, the devotee in Krishna consciousness, although far away from the Lord's abode, can elevate himself to that abode simply by thinking of him constantly, by engagement in Krishna consciousness. He does not feel the pangs of material miseries. This state of life is called Brahma-bhuta, Brahma-nirvana, or the absence of material miseries due to being constantly immersed in the Supreme. Due to being constantly immersed in whom? Text 27:28, together. Sparshan kritva bahir bhayam chakshus chayvantare bruvaho pranapanao samau kritva nasabhyantara charinao yatendriya mano buddhir munir moksha parayanaha vigatecha bhaya krodho yaksada mukta evasaha. Sparshan, sense objects such as sound. Kritva, keeping. Bahi, external. Bhayan, unnecessary. Chakshu, eyes. Cha, also. Eva, certainly. Antare, between. Bruvo, the eyebrows. Prana apano, up and down, moving airs. Samau, in suspension. Kritva, keeping. Nasaba anyantara, within the nostrils. Charinau, blowing. Jata, controlled. Indriya, senses. Manak, mind. Buddhi, intelligence. Muni, the transcendentalist. Moksha, for liberation. Parayanaha, being so destined. Vigata, having discarded. Icha, wishes. Bhaya, fear. Krodha, anger. Ya, one who. Sada, always. Mukta, liberated. Eva, certainly. Saha, he is. Translation. Shutting out all external sense objects, keeping the eyes and vision concentrated between the two eyebrows, suspending the inward and outward breaths within the nostrils, and thus controlling the mind, senses, and intelligence. The transcendentalist aiming at liberation becomes free from desire, fear, and anger. One who is always in this state is certainly liberated. The transcendentalist aiming at liberation becomes free from what? Desire, fear, and anger? The big three? Purport. Being engaged in Krishna consciousness, one can immediately understand one's spiritual identity, and then one can understand the Supreme Lord by means of devotional service. When all is well, when one is well situated in devotional service, one comes to the transcendental position, qualified to feel the presence of the Lord in the sphere of one's activity. This particular position is called liberation in the Supreme. After explaining the above principles of liberation in the Supreme, the Lord gives instruction to Arjuna as to how one can come to that position by the practice of the mysticism of yoga, known as Ashtanga Yoga, which is divisible into an eightfold procedure called Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. In the sixth chapter, the subject of yoga is explicitly detailed, and at the end of the fifth, it is only preliminarily explained. One has to drive out the sense objects such as sound, touch, form, taste, and smell by the pratyahara process in yoga, and then keep the vision of the eyes between the two eyebrows and concentrate on the tip of the nose with half-closed lids. There's no benefit in closing the eyes altogether because then there's every chance of falling asleep. Nor is there benefit in opening the eyes completely, because then there is the hazard of being attracted by sense objects. The breathing movement is restrained within the nostrils by neutralizing the up-moving and down-moving air within the body. By practice of such yoga, one is able to gain control over the senses, refrain from outward sense objects, and thus prepare oneself for liberation in the Supreme. This yoga process helps one become free from all kinds of fear and anger, and thus feel the presence of the Supersoul in the transcendental situation. In other words, Krishna consciousness is the easiest process of executing yoga principles. This will be thoroughly explained in the next chapter. A Krishna conscious person, however, being always engaged in devotional service, does not risk losing his senses to some other engagement. This is a better way of controlling the senses than by Ashtanga yoga. Who is the emblem of that? Who engaged every one of his senses in the service of the Lord? It's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Padau hare shitra padanu sarpane. Huh? Marjan Barish. Can you find the verse? You know the verse? Well, Prikshit Maharaj, you could argue for that. Because he sat down on the bank of the Ganga. He was cursed. And the Lord told him to accept the curse from within his heart. So he sat down, took that curse so Shukadeva Goswami could speak. And he said, Naishati dushahashunmam chaktodam apipadate pibantam tvam mukamboja chutam harikatam ritam. He was fasting. So he said, Naishati dushahashunmam. It's usually very hard to go without eating, especially for a long period of time, like 7 days. And he didn't even take water. Naishati dushaha shunmam tyaktodam apipadate pibantan tuan mukamboja. He was not taking any food nor water, but he said there was no inconvenience. Why? Because chutam harikatam ritam. He was enjoying this nectar that was falling from the mouth of Shukadeva Goswami. And therefore he felt fully satisfied at every minute. But Ambarish is mentioned as the quintessential devotee who engaged all of his senses in the service of the Lord. It's in the shloka book, Parau Hare Shitra. What page?
261. Page 135.
If you hold your place in the other chapter and go to page 135. This is the verse. King Ambarish fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, engaged his words in describing the abode of the Lord, his hands in cleansing the temple of the Lord, his ears in hearing the pastimes of the Lord, his eyes in seeing the form of the Lord, his body in touching the body of the devotee, his nostrils in smelling the flavor of the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, his tongue in tasting the tulsi leaves offered to him, his legs in traveling to holy places where this temple is situated, his head in offering obeisances unto the Lord, and his desires in fulfilling the desires of the Lord. And all of these qualifications made him fit to become a matpara, devotee of the Lord. How many items of devotional service are there? 10 plus? How many items of devotional service? Can you grab a nectar devotion? 64 items. Let's see how many we engage in every day. 64 items. There's 64 items of devotional service. Right there. How many can you get away with performing every day and still become a matpara devotee in the Lord?
One.
Out of the 64. One. That's true. Can you prove it? Yeah, Lord Chaitanya mentioned to Sanatana Goswami in Madhya Lila, chapter 23. He says how this 64 items of devotional service, out of the 64, there are five which are the most essential, the most important. And out of those, there's one that's the supreme, just chanting Hare Krishna. Okay, 64 items of devotional service. Krishna, Krishna. Here. Can you find the 64? And while he's looking for that, we're on text number 29. Bhuktaram jagatapasam sarvalokam maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyadva mam shantim richati. Bhuktaram, the beneficiary, yajna of sacrifices, tapasam and penances and austerities, sarvaloka of all planets and the demigods thereof. Maha Ishvaram, the Supreme Lord. Suridam, the benefactor. Sarva, of all. Bhutanam, the living entities. Gyatva, thus knowing. Mam, me, Lord Krishna. Shantim, relief from material pangs. Richati, one achieves. Translation. A person in full Krishna consciousness, in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Purport. The conditioned souls within the clutches of the illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world, but they do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. The greatest peace formula is simply this: Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities. Men should offer everything to the transcendental service of the Lord because he is the proprietor of all planets and the demigods thereon. No one is greater than he. He is greater than the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. In the Vedas, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6-7, the Supreme Lord is described as Tam Ishvaranam Paramam Maheshwaram. Under the spell of illusion, living entities are trying to be lords of all they survey, but actually they are dominated by the material energy of the Lord. The Lord is the master of material nature, and the conditioned souls are under the stringent rules of material nature. Unless one understands these bare facts, it is not possible to achieve peace in the world either individually or collectively. This is the sense of Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna is the supreme predominator, and all living entities, including the great demigods, are his subordinates. One can attain perfect peace only in complete Krishna consciousness. This fifth chapter is a practical explanation of Krishna consciousness, generally known as karma yoga. The question of mental speculation as to how karma yoga can give liberation is answered herewith. To work in Krishna consciousness is to work with the complete knowledge of the Lord as the predominator. Such work is not different from transcendental knowledge. Direct Krishna consciousness is bhakti yoga, and jnana yoga is a path leading to bhakti yoga. Krishna consciousness means to work in full knowledge of one's relationship with the Supreme Absolute, and the perfection of this consciousness is full knowledge of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure soul is the eternal servant of God as his fragmental part and parcel. He comes into contact with Maya, illusion, due to the desire to lord it over Maya, and that is the cause of his many sufferings. What is the cause of his many sufferings? Desire to lord it over Maya. As long as he is in contact with matter, he has to execute work in terms of material necessities. Krishna consciousness, however, brings one into spiritual life even while one is within the jurisdiction of matter, for it is an arousing of spiritual existence by practice in the material world. The more one is advanced, the more he is free from the clutches of matter. The Lord is not partial toward anyone. Everything depends on one's practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness, which helps one control the senses in every respect and conquer the influence of desire and anger. And one who stands fast in Krishna consciousness, controlling the above-mentioned passions, remains factually in the transcendental stage, or Brahma Nirvana. The Eightfold Yoga mysticism is automatically practiced in Krishna consciousness because the ultimate purpose is served. There is a gradual process of elevation in the practice of yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi, but these only preface perfection by devotional service, which alone can award peace to the human being. It is the highest perfection of life. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta purports, to the fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of karma yoga, or action in Krishna consciousness. Okay? Thank you. 64 items of devotional service. Two lists of 10. Okay. Two lists of 10 and one list of 44. So you were listing one of the lists of 10, right? Did you say 10?
You were saying
Shravanam. Oh, Shravanam Kirtan Vishnu Smaranam? Okay. How to discharge devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami states that his elder brother, Sanatana Goswami, has compiled Hari Bhakti Vilas for the guidance of the Vaishnavas, and therein has mentioned many rules and regulations to be followed by the Vaishnavas. Some of them are very important and prominent, and Srila Rupa Goswami will now mention these very important items for our benefit. The purport of this statement is that Srila Rupa Goswami proposes to mention only basic principles, not details. For example, a basic principle is that one has to accept a spiritual master. Exactly how one follows the instructions of his spiritual master is considered a detail. For example, if one is following the instruction of his spiritual master and that instruction is different from the instructions of another spiritual master, this is called detailed information. It is called what? But the basic principle that acceptance of a spiritual master is good everywhere, although the details may be different. Srila Rupa Goswami does not wish to enter into details here, but he wants to place before us only the principles. He mentions the basic principles as follows. 1. Accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. 2. Becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. 3. Obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. 4. Following the footsteps of great acharyas, teachers, under the direction of the spiritual master. 5. Inquiring from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. 6. Being prepared to give up anything material for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This means that when we are engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, we must be prepared to give up something which we may not like to give up. And also, we may have to accept something which we do not like to accept. 7. Residing in a sacred place of pilgrimage like Dwarka or Vrindavan. 8. Accepting only what is necessary or dealing with the material world only as far as necessary. 9. Observing fasting days like Ekadashi. And 10. Worshipping sacred trees like the banyan tree. These 10 items are preliminary necessities for beginning the discharge of devotional service in regulative principles. In the beginning, if a neophyte devotee observes the above-mentioned 10 principles, surely he will quickly make good advancement in Krishna consciousness. The next set of instructions is listed as follows. 1. One should rigidly give up the company of non-devotees. 2. One should not instruct a person who is not desirous of accepting devotional service. 3. One should not be very enthusiastic about constructing costly temples or monasteries. 4. One should not try to read too many books, nor should one develop the idea of earning his livelihood by lecturing on or professionally reciting Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. 5. One should not be neglectful in ordinary dealings. 6. One should not be under the spell of lamentation in loss or jubilation in gain. 7. One should not disrespect the demigods. 8. One should not give unnecessary trouble to any living entity. 9. One should carefully avoid the various offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord or in worshiping the deity in the temple. And that's a whole other topic. 10. One should be very intolerant toward the blasphemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna or his devotees. Without following the above-mentioned 10 principles, one cannot properly elevate himself to the platform of sadhana bhakti, or devotional service in practice. Altogether, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions 20 items, and all of them are very important. Out of the 20, the first three, namely accepting the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, taking initiation from him, and serving him with respect and reverence, are the most important. The next items, important items, are as follows. 1. One should decorate the body with tilak, which is the sign of the Vaishnavas. The idea is that as soon as a person sees these marks on the body of the Vaishnava, he will immediately remember Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said that a Vaishnava is he who, when seen, reminds one of Krishna. Therefore, it is essential that a Vaishnava mark his body with tilak to remind others of Krishna. 2. In marking such tilak, sometimes one may write Hare Krishna on the body. 3. One should accept flowers and garlands that have been offered to the deity and the spiritual master and put them on one's body. You know the verse by Uddhava? Do you know where to find it? It's the 11th canto? I don't know if it's in there. 4. One should learn to dance before the deity. 5. One should learn how to bow down immediately upon seeing the deity or the spiritual master. 6. As soon as one visits the temple of Lord Krishna, one must stand up. 7. When the deity is being borne for a stroll in the street, a devotee should immediately follow the procession. In this connection, it may be noted that in India, especially in Vishnu temples, the system is that apart from the big deity who is permanently situated in the main area of the temple, there is a set of smaller deities which are taken in procession in the evening. In some temples, it is accustomed to hold a big procession in the evening with a band playing and a nice big umbrella over the deities, who sit on decorated thrones on the cart or palanquin, which is carried by devotees. The deities come out onto the street and travel in the neighborhood while the people of the neighborhood come out and offer prasad. The residents of the neighborhood all follow the procession, so it is a very nice scene. When the deity is coming out, I don't see that in my neighborhood too much. When the deity is coming out, the servitors in the temple put forward the daily accounts before them. So much was the collection, so much was the expenditure. The whole idea is that the deity is considered to be the proprietor of the whole establishment. And all the priests and other people taking care of the temple are considered to be the servants of the deity. This system is very, very old and is still followed. So therefore, it is mentioned here that when the deity is on stroll, the people should follow behind. I was mentioning that there's a verse from Uddhava to Lord Krishna where he says that just by wearing the remnants of the Lord's garlands and other items that he receives, he can conquer over the material elements. Just by wearing the Lord's garlands, this is one of the devotional principles. You're given things, you can wear them as prasad, and they're very powerful. So therefore, it is mentioned here that when the deity is on stroll, the people should follow behind. 8. A devotee must visit a Vishnu temple at least once or twice every day, morning and evening. In Vrindavan, the system is followed very strictly. All the devotees in town go every morning and evening to visit different temples. Therefore, during these times, there are considerable crowds all over the city. There are about 5,000 temples in Vrindavan city. Of course, it is not possible to visit all the temples, but there are at least one dozen very big and important temples which were started by the Goswamis and which should be visited. 9. One must circumambulate the temple building at least 3 times. In every temple, there is an arrangement to go around the temple at least 3 times. Some devotees go around more than 3 times, 10 times, 15 times, according to their vows. The Goswamis used to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. One should also circumambulate the whole Vrindavan area. 10. One must worship the deity in the temple according to the regulative principles, offering artik and prasad, decorating the deity, etc. These things must be observed regularly. 11. One must render personal service to the deities. 12. One must sing. 13. One must perform samkirtan. 14. One must chant. 15. One must offer prayers. 16. One must recite notable prayers. 17. One must taste mahaprasad, food from the very plate offered before the deities. 18. One must drink charnamrit, water from the bathing of the deities, which is offered to guests. 19. One must smell the incense and the flowers offered to the deity. 20. One must touch the lotus feet of the deity. 21. One must see the deity with great devotion. 22. One must offer arti at different times. 23. One must hear about the Lord and his pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and similar books. 24. One must pray to the deity for his mercy. 25. One should remember the deity. 26. One should meditate upon the deity. 27. One should render some voluntary service. 28, one should think of the Lord as one's friend. 29, one should offer everything to the Lord. 30, one should offer a favorite article, such as food or a garment. There's a nice story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about a queen who had a pearl nose ring, and she wanted to give it to the Lord. And she offered. She was thinking about that, giving it to him. And then in a dream, he revealed that he had had his nose pierced when he was just a child, so that she could bring that as a gift and give it to him. I love that story. One should offer a favorite article, such as food or a garment. One should take all kinds of risks and perform all endeavors for Krishna's benefit. 32, in every condition, one should be a surrendered soul. 33, one should pour water on the Tulsi tree. 34, one should regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam and similar literature. 35, one should live in a sacred place like Mathura, Vrindavan, or Dwarka. 36, one should offer service to Vaishnavas, devotees. 37, one should arrange one's devotional service according to one's means. 38, in the month of Kartik, October, November, one should make arrangements for special services. 39, during Janmashtami, the time of Krishna's appearance in this world, one should observe a special service. Goprimanande. 40, one should do whatever is done with great care and devotion for the deity. 41, one should relish the pleasure of Srimad Bhagavatam reading among devotees and not among outsiders. 42, one should associate with devotees who are considered more advanced. 43, one should chant the holy name of the Lord. 44, one should live in the jurisdiction of Mathura. Didn't want to come to the end of the list. It's so nice reading. Now, yes, Prashant lives in the district of Mathura. We're coming to your house. Now, the total regulative principles come to an aggregate of 64 items. As we have mentioned, the first are the primary 10 regulative principles. Then come the secondary 10 regulative principles. And added to these are 44 other activities. So together, there are 64 items for discharging the regulative practice of devotional service. Out of these 64 items, 5 items, namely, worshiping the deity, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, Sankirtan, and living Mathura, are very important. Just a little bit of those 5 can actually elevate one very quickly. The 64 items of devotional service should include all of our activities of body, mind, and speech. As stated in the beginning, the regulative principles of devotional service enjoins that all our senses must be employed in the service of the Lord. Exactly how they can be thus employed is described in the 64 items. Now, Srila Rupa Goswami will give evidence from different scriptures supporting the authenticity of many of these points. Goprimanande Haribo. So this is the life, living within these 64 items of devotional service. Tannama rupa charitaru sikirtananu smrityo kramena rasanamanasiniyoja. Tishtan raje tananuragi jananugami kalam nayet akilamiti padeshasara. The essence of all advice is that one should arrange one's life so that you can be engaged in these 64 items of devotional service nonstop, 24 hours a day. So your home becomes a temple. And of course, we heard in the Bhagavad Gita earlier that one who shuts out the external sense objects and concentrates from within, there are two processes by yoga. There's an Ashtanga process by which you can gradually shut out the external sense objects and concentrate from within. But through practicing the 64 items of devotional service, beginning with the most important ones, you can attain this also. And this is a life called Anandam Buddhivardhanam. It's swimming in the ocean of bliss all the time. Like in Vrindavan, there are devotees who, as it was mentioned here, come to the temple at least twice a day. In the morning, there are throngs of Vaishnavas going into the various temples. And just by following them, walking along with them, for instance, if you go to the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan, in the evening time during Kartik, it's hard to get into that temple. You have to somehow or other squeeze your way in because there's so many devotees coming in to circumambulate. there is a benediction there that if you go around the deity four times, it's the same thing as circumambulating Govardhan Hill. And there's some special transcendental favor you get from the Lord from just entering that temple with all the devotees. You go in and you can see Radha Damodar. They're a little bit up on the platform. Their altar is elevated, and there's a courtyard inside. And usually in the evening time, during the Kartik season, there are devotees inside there sitting like we are here, hearing and chanting for the evening. So you hear the kirtan, or there's a lecture going on. Usually they alternate kirtan lecture. So there's some devotees sitting, and then many others are going around in circles around the deity. Once you go through the first doorway on your left, you'll come in and you'll see the samadhi, the Pushpa Samadhi of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there are many, many other samadhis in that courtyard there. But watch your glasses. Satyadev lost four pair while we were there together last time. And it's hard to get them back because the monkeys jump down right around that area. And if you're not careful, they'll take your glasses right off your face before you knew what happened. And therefore, this is like death. Monkeys come down like we never expect it. In Vrindavan, when you're wearing your glasses, the last thing you're thinking, unless you're, you're accustomed to this, is that your glasses are going to disappear. But they come from behind. They come from above. They swing down. Huh?
They ambush.
You got that? Were those taken and given back? Do they have any chew marks on them? With a biscuit? One of the members of our party, they went off to get some biscuits to get it back and got frustrated. He started throwing the biscuits at the monkeys. But that didn't help. There's an art to it. Apparently you know the art. In any case, like death, you can be walking along one day and all of a sudden it sweeps down and gets you from behind. You don't know which direction it will come from. So similarly, the monkeys grab your glasses. Mosquitoes are the same. They're so expert, they can come from stealthily from any direction. They're given this mystic potency that they can fly around in the dusk and you don't see them, you don't know where they're coming from, but all of a sudden, ow, your leg, you've been bitten. And now you have to suffer. Who knows how much you'll have to suffer. So monkeys, mosquitoes, they come like death. So you continue along that courtyard and you can go around the corner and there's the samadhi tomb of Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And then further up, you walk up the ramp. The ramp's nice because although it's smooth cement, they've put little pock marks in it. So when you're walking in bare feet around there, you don't slip and you can go fast. And you have to go fast because people are going faster, faster, faster around the courtyard. You come out into the open air and there's Rupa Goswami's and Sanatana Goswami's, Rupa Goswami's samadhi. And if it's in the evening time, it's starting to cool down a little bit at night, you offer your full dandavat obeisances and you can feel the heat of the cement under your body as you offer. And these impressions go right into your mind and heart as you're offering obeisances to these great souls. And then a little bit further on the corner, Viraragavacharya's samadhi tomb is there. And you can go around. Now you're back into the temple room and just on your left-hand side is Srila Prabhupada's room at Radha Damodar, where he used to sit. So before you go any further, you can go up the steps on the left into Srila Prabhupada's room and sit down and chant your Brahma Samhita. Because Prabhupada liked it when the devotees would chant Brahma Samhita to him. I was in Chicago in 1975, and there was a huge installation ceremony for the Radha Damodar buses. Many sets of Gornitai deities. I forget how many there were, like five, but that means 10 forms of Gornitai on the altar at once, getting Abhishek. And hundreds of new brahmacharis. The buses were all parked outside. Prabhupada had his picture taken sitting. You can see that picture, sitting with the Radha Damodar devotees and the buses just behind. And some of the devotees had practiced Brahma Samhita. It was just coming out at that time. Pradyumna was translating it. And some devotees had practiced for weeks. I remember hearing them up in the Prasadam room. They were practicing the Brahma Samhita and the Purusha Sukta to chant all together during the Abhishek ceremony. And so they did that, and Prabhupada liked it very much. He heard them chanting all together the Brahma Samhita, and he commented that this was very, very nice to do this. So you can go in Prabhupada's room, and everyone here knows Brahma Samhita by now. Been practicing once a week, and many devotees at home. So you can sit in front of Prabhupada with one of your friends, and you can chant the Brahma Samhita for Srila Prabhupada and sit in his Divine Grace's room where he incubated his divine plot to take his transcendental literatures all over the world to distribute. He sat in that little room. We're just outside the door. He could hear the arti. He could just see the altar of Radha Damodar, and just outside is the samadhi of Rupa Goswami. And from there, he went back and forth to Delhi all the time, preparing to print his books, making BTG magazines, back and forth. He stayed in that room. This is a very holy site. Then you come back out, come around again, and at least four times in that temple, and then you're onward. You can go outside the Radha Damodar temple, take a left, and then another right, and then down a long alleyway, watch again for the monkeys, and you can head on down to Radharaman Mandir. You have to look outside to see if the green light's on, because it's a long walk into the temple. And from the outside, they have a green and red light system. If the red light's there, you've walked all the way down there for nothing. But if the green light's on, you can go in into the mystical Radharaman temple. There's usually it's a smaller temple inside. They have padded, nice pads on the floor, and Pukka deity worship inside. When the devotees first started coming to Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada told them to go and observe the standard of deity worship at the Radharaman temple to understand how to do deity worship. But this is the self-manifested deity of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He was worshipping Shalagram Srila, and he desired to be worshipping Radha and Krishna, so the Shalagram manifested into a deity of Krishna, and Radharani is there also. So that deity is very sublime, and you can give some donation for the deity, and they'll give you a little pot of kheer that you can take home and relish later. So everywhere around Vrindavan, you can go and see the temple, Padao Hare Kshetra Padanu Sarpane, just like Ambarish Maharaj, he walked around, and you can offer your obeisances in all these places, and you feel great satisfaction just by doing this. This is devotional service, and the items of devotional service. The driving on freeways, going back and forth just to maintain, struggling in material life, it's hard. It's really hard. But the perspiration you put out when you go around Govardhan Hill, the feeling under your feet, you can feel the hot, the cold, the soft. Sometimes you have to walk on gravel, but it's all pleasurable because you're there on the holy dham and you can feel it under your feet and you breathe the air, you hear the sounds, the incense, you can hear people chanting here and there. There are groups of devotees going around sometimes at night when you're sleeping and you can hear them chanting out, going around for late night parikram when the moon is up. You can go by moonlight around Govardhan Hill. And all these things are within the realm of the 64 items of devotional service. And then, of course, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the Association of Devotees and Bhagavad Gita, just sitting, hearing, just by hearing the transcendental sound vibration, there's complete satisfaction and the senses come under control. So all these items of devotional service mean real life. I mean, this is the Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. You can swim in that ocean of nectar by being always engaged. And it doesn't matter where you are. As Srila Prabhupada was mentioning in the last part of this purport to the fifth canto, this is profound. He says that even while you're within the material tabernacle, you can attain this state of samadhi and Brahma Nirvana. Where was that? Do you remember that one? 25, all the way back there? Huh? Yeah, here it is on page 267. Thank you. Second paragraph. A person engaged only in ministering to the physical welfare of human society cannot factually help anyone. Temporary relief of the external body and the mind is not satisfactory. The real cause of one's difficulties in the hard struggle for life may be found in one's forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Lord. When a man is fully conscious of his relationship with Krishna, he is actually a liberated soul, although he may be in the material tabernacle. So it doesn't matter. We can live anywhere. But if we become fully conscious of Krishna and direct all our activities towards him, mind, body, and words, iha yasya hare dasye karmana manasa gira nikilas api avasta su jivan mukta su uchite. Rupa Goswami says, if you're engaged body, mind, and words in Krishna consciousness, even though you may appear to have a physical body and be living within the realm of ordinary activity, you become liberated even in this body. Confirmed earlier in this chapter, isn't it? Where naiva kinjit karomiti yukto manyati tattvavit. It's explained that someone who's actually a tattvavit, he doesn't have any connection with the external senses in the ordinary way. He understands that they're going on by the force of the modes of material nature. So we just completed the fifth chapter, and this is the great project of life, is to gradually elevate oneself from the lower modes of nature up to the higher modes of nature, and then into this realm of Shuddha Sattva, or pure consciousness, whereby which one can actually see Krishna, hear from Krishna, and perform pure devotional service. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na shochati na kangshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. One enters into devotional service from this point of being freed from the three modes of material nature, the Brahma Bhuta platform. So the regulated devotional service that we perform will be preparing us and purifying the senses. Partiva dharano dumas tasmad agnis trayimayaha tamasas tu rajas tasmad satvam yad brahma darshanam. The project is, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, to raise oneself from the lower modes up to the higher modes. It means, as is given in the example in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the goal of life to perform Vedic sacrifice is done with fire, right? You have to have fire. But before you have fire, you get smoke. And before you have smoke, you have just raw wood. So, partiva dharano dumas tasmad agnis trayimayaha. The mode of ignorance is like raw wood. It won't burn. But once it's dried out a little bit and you start the fire, then you get smoke comes out. That's the mode of passion. Smoke disturbs. It looks like something happened, but it actually disturbs. In the mode of goodness, the fire is ignited. You can actually do something with it. You can make an offering. You can offer ghee into the fire. It becomes the tongue of Vishnu. So similarly, Sattvam yad brahma darshanam. When you come to the level of sattva, then you can understand, you can have a little vision of what is yourself. What is Brahman? Some understanding from that position. Urdvam gachiti sattva sta madhyam tishtanti madhava rajasa. What is it? Jaganya guna vritti sta adoga chanti tamasa. So these verses all give us an indication from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, that there's a gradation in these three modes of material nature. Adoga, chanti, tamasa. You can cultivate in a certain way. By associating with the mode of ignorance, you go ado, down. You're going to go down if you're associating with the mode of ignorance. If you associate with the mode of passion, you stay in the middle. And if you associate with the mode of goodness, you go upward. Jagana guna vrittista. Jaganya guna. That's the mode of ignorance. It's described as the abominable quality of this world. So purusha prakritisto hi bhunte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sarasad yoni janmasu. That all the situations we find ourselves in this world are due to our association with the three modes of material nature. Purusha prakritisto hi bhunte prakriti jan gunan. The living entity thinking, I'm an enjoyer, actually he's meant to be enjoyed, to render service, he's an eternal servant, but thinking that I'm the enjoyer and associating with the three modes of material nature in that enjoying spirit becomes contaminated. Kadarnam guna sangosya, just by sangha with the modes of material nature, sarasad yoni janmasu, moves through good and bad situations in this lifetime. So by performing the activities of Krishna consciousness, the 64 items that we've heard about, and staying close to the process, we become transcendental. And in fact, the first items that were mentioned, accepting the shelter of a spiritual master, taking initiation from a spiritual master, these are described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this diksha process. One actually attains a sadhana deha, In other words, the body, although it looks material, it takes on a different quality because you've dedicated it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Diksha is a mystical process, actually, which is described like turning bell metal into gold through an alchemical process, through a touchstone. So that's a little mystical because I've never seen a touchstone. But there, apparently there is one. And if you touch that to something that's iron, it turns to gold. So that process is described by Viraragavacharya in the, as his commentary in the 10th canto, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it's described how the when Vasudev and Devaki gave birth to Lord Krishna, it was not by seminal discharge. However, the Vasudev carried Lord Krishna within his heart, within his pure heart. And that's where Krishna resides. Sarvo hridayo mayam sarunam hridayam tvaham madanyatena jananti mame yap. Madanyat. Anyway, the first part, sarvo hridayam mayam sarunam hridayam tvaham. Krishna says, I am the naham tebyo managapi. I am in the heart of the sadhus, and they are in within my heart. That's where Krishna resides. So Krishna is attracted to this affection that the devotees have for him. And that's where he resides. He wants to be with his devotees. He is attracted there. And he says so in the section where Maharaj Ambarish had been pursued by the Sudarshan Chakra. And Durvasa Muni came to him for shelter. And the Lord said that actually the sadhus are the most dear to me. I'm in their heart. They're in my heart, and you know, you'll have to go to Maharaj Ambarish to get forgiveness, not even to me. So in this process, Vasudev transferred from his pure heart, and from his consciousness, from his heart, he transferred that to the heart of Devaki. And therefore, Krishna took birth apparently from Devaki like an ordinary child, but it was through this process of transference. So this means, by association with devotees and through the process of diksha, there's actually a transference from the heart of the devotee who's carrying the Supreme Lord into the heart of another devotee. It's a heart-to-heart relationship, says Viraragavacharya. So by associating with devotees, by going through the process of devotional service, as is mentioned, the 64 items, Krishna will enter within our hearts. And then this... the effects of the three modes of material nature are quickly diminished, because wherever there is Krishna, the traces of material natures and its influences can't remain. So if we keep ourselves close to the process of devotional service, at least these five out of the 64, which are chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, performing Sankirtan, and living in a holy place like Mathura. If you perform even a slight bit of those five, can you find that section? Madhya 23. Sanatana Goswami was receiving instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he told Sanatana Goswami about the 64 items of devotional service, and then he said, these five are the most essential. Even a slight practice of these five regularly will ensure that one will make advancement in devotional service. That's kind of what we do here, isn't it? We don't do all 64 every day, not everyone does, but we're in contact with these five regularly, right? Sankirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, all the devotees are chanting. Sankirtan is chanting. Srimad Bhagavatam, associated with devotees, and living in a holy place. This is a holy place. And worshiping the deities, yeah, worshiping the deity. So deity worship is also recommended, as we've talked about many times, that this Bhagavat Marg means chanting Hare Krishna, preaching, that it should also be supplemented by engaging in a life of deity worship too, because it purifies the senses, and there's a wide variety of activities within the process of deity worship. Thank you.